10 or Luke 13. While I was in Illinois last week, the Lord started moving on my heart about this message. This is a special message for some of you that are here and for some that's in our midst who are not here this morning as far as always being present, that are lost and know it. And my question is this, and of course I want you to understand first though, before you ask that question, that we love you. And it dawned on me when I went through all of that list, as I told you last Sunday, and so many that is among our own families who are lost and know it, and been knowing it for a while, but haven't gotten saved. And I had rather see the people that we minister to saved than anybody else I know. Now that's not putting some over others, like we spend our time out in evangelism and praying and preaching for people to get saved everywhere else. And we want to see people saved who are lost no matter who they are. But I would hate to know that we saw people saved all across the country and couldn't see those in our own midst saved. But what do you do? Like those of you who are lost this morning, what are you doing? You say, well, I know I'm lost, but what are you doing about it? So much emphasis is put on us as what we do for the church, for those of you that are lost, that you fail to remember that it's really not our obligation, first of all, but your obligation to do something about your situation. It's ours to help you to see a truth. And that's what I want to do this morning. Here in Luke chapter 13 and Matthew 7, he speaks of three things that I want to share with you. One, the straight gate. Then second, the striving to enter in. And third, the struggle to find the way. It's a sermon that I've entitled, The Struggle to Find the Gate. Now I want to thank God, when I found the way, I started looking for the gate. Did you see what the scripture said? In the question, they said, Lord, are the few that be saved? And he said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Then in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, he said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Now notice the emphasis on the gate. There are two gates. There's the wide gate and the straight gate. There are two ways, the broad way and the narrow way. Now, the way just means how you get there, where you want to find the gate, how you get to your destination. And there are two destinations, he said. One is destruction and the other is eternal life. When you put all this together and understand that the word for straight means narrow, then you're trying to find the way that leads to the gate to enter in to have everlasting life. Now the way is not a passageway out on a highway, even though it's the same concept. Like for instance, every year we try to take a week's vacation. We go to Atlanta to Six Flags. The first thing we want to do is find the way to go to Six Flags. Second, we want to find the gate that opens so we can enter. Once you find the way, you start looking for the gate. That's how I was when I was lost. For years, I looked for the way, and for days, I sought the gate. I looked for the entrance. I looked for the passageway that opened up under Six Flags when I was on that highway, but thank God I looked for the gate that opened up unto eternal life. The entrance to eternal life. First, you must find the way, and he says it's a narrow passage. It's a narrow way, and it's a narrow gate. The word straight gate is a translation of the Greek word for narrow, and it means just shut in by obstacles close to you on each side. It means so narrow that only one person can pass through it at a time. It's just simply to say it's an individual experience. You need to understand this morning that when you go into eternal life, when you have eternal life, You can't go in on another person's salvation. You can't go in because someone else has gone in. You got to go in yourself. You say, well, my brother went in, my sister went in, my husband went in, my wife went in. Well, if they found the way and they found the gate, they had to go in individually. They can't go in on someone else's salvation. So it's a matter, first of all, of knowing there is a way to be saved. There is a gate to enter. There is a destination called eternal life. Now, I want to share with you a word that you might see the striving to enter in. Look back in Luke 13, verse 24, where he said, strive to enter in. As I said at the beginning, if you're lost this morning and you know it, what are you doing about it? That's the question. You say, well, I know I'm lost, but what are you doing about it? You say, well, there's no doubt in my mind I'm lost, but what are you doing about it? Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. This word, the Greek word, is where we get our English word for agonize. The word means feel great anguish, cause to suffer, extreme pain, torture, strive painfully, but it also means to struggle as in a contest. I want to share with you the same translation of this word that we can understand what Jesus meant when he said strive to enter in. First, look with me in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. You'll see the translation of the same word in Luke 13, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, 25. This is competing in a contest for a prize. 1 Corinthians 9, 25 says, and everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Put that together with the verses prior to that. Look at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And he talks about striving for mastery. This is the same word that he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. This is a motivation factor of self-discipline. He says, give yourself to it completely to gain that which you've desired. He has the idea of a runner in track, or of a basketball player, a baseball player, of an athlete who gives himself totally and completely to his purpose. Like I remember when I was a boy playing ball. My desire was to play ball, was to play basketball and to be a good athlete. I lived to play ball. It didn't make any difference what. I just lived to play ball. If it's basketball, baseball, tennis, or anything that I played, I lived to play it. I was separated. I gave up certain things. I was determined to be the best I could be. And this is what Paul says to those of you who are lost. Have you given yourself to it? Are you straining? Are you purposely doing everything in your endeavor to get saved? Is that your desire? Is that your wish? Is that what you want more than anything else in the world? He says, be like an athlete who has given himself to strive for the mastery, to be that, to have what he desires. And he said, here is an athlete who strains everything in his being. He's disciplined, yes. He's separated, yes. But day unto day, he works at it. Day unto day, he labors at it. Day unto day, he gets out on the course, and he runs, and he runs, and he runs, and he runs, waiting for the day when he can obtain his prize. And he says, this athlete works at it so diligently every day that he's on the course, but when he's at home, he's still in training. He says it occupies his mind. It occupies his being. Everything on the inside of him. And then it carries the idea that he's already out on the track. And he's running. And he's striving. And there is the goal that he has. And everything inside of him is intense. Every nerve is strained to the uttermost. Everything in his being is reaching out. And Paul said, that's your desire to get in the gate. And he says, strive to enter in. So that if you're lost here this morning and you know it, what are you doing about it? You say, well, preacher, I'm waiting on God to move on me. He may never move on you. If you don't strain to enter in, if you don't strive to enter in, if you don't make it the desire of your heart and the longing of your heart, if you don't put pressure on that gate, you may be shut out forever. You say, but God wouldn't do that to me. Yes, He would. Yes, He would. You don't sit back and do nothing. You say, well, I'm lost and I know it, but what are you doing about it? You say, well, I want somebody to do it for me. No one can do it for you. He says, strain. Strive like an athlete in training. And it's not just a matter of being out on the court or out on the racetrack. Now, when I played ball, there's one thing for sure. I didn't wait till I got on the basketball court or at the baseball diamond to be in training. I was in training at nighttime. I was in training at daytime. I was in training all the time. It was a matter of striving for the mastery, to control it, to have my prize. I was determined to be the best athlete I could be. And it didn't matter if somebody else tried to get me to lose my training, I wouldn't lose my training. Some of them tried to give me things and make me eat some things that I didn't want to eat, but I wouldn't eat some things because I knew I couldn't have my mastery. I couldn't be the athlete I wanted to be. I couldn't reach my goal if I gave in to some things. You say, well, preacher, there's too many things keeping me from getting saved. Well, he says you strain, you strive, you work at it, you give yourself to it. If you don't, you find yourself shut out someday. He says the most important thing in the world to you is getting saved. And it's just like it was when I was the athlete. I had to decide whether or not that was the most important thing to me. I had to decide whether I wanted to be in training and have my desire and my goal or break training and be like the rest of the folks. Well, that's what you're going to have to decide, whether or not you're going to go the broad way, the way of everybody else, and not give yourself and not give any attention to getting saved as to whether or not you want to get saved more than anything else in the world or whether or not you're just going to go along with the crowd. And he says, put pressure on it. Be like that athlete. Give yourself to salvation to where you want to get saved more than you want life itself. Don't let anybody standing in your way, whether people are going the broad way or not, don't let them influence you. You find the way, get in the way, and head toward the gate. Well, I'm glad that's true. I remember when I found out I was lost. Praise God, I want to get saved more than anything else in this world. When I found the way, I got to looking for the gate. And some of them tried to talk me out of even running the race. But glory to God, I was determined to find the gate. When I found the gate, I entered in. I found my prize. I reached my goal. I found what I was looking for one day. Well, all the glory of this is Jesus said, strive like this athlete. And this is what Paul is saying, strive like this athlete. Train every nerve. Long for it. Give yourself to it. Let nothing or no one detour you from your accomplishment. And that's what he's saying about salvation. You give yourself to getting saved. Don't you let anybody stand in your way. Don't you let anything stand in your way. Don't you be bothered with circumstances and affliction. Overcome those daily so that you can give yourself into salvation. Now I want you to see the second word. Same word. Turn with me to John 18, verse 36. John 18, verse 36, uses the same word of Luke 13, verse 24, for strive to enter in. John 18, verse 36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. See the word for fight? It's the same translation of the word strive and strive to enter in. Fight. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 6 verse 12. You'll see the same word for fight. 1 Timothy 6, 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou hast also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, I want to thank God he didn't say we had to fight physically to get saved. I'm glad it's not a physical fight. I'm glad I don't have to overcome anyone physically in order to be saved. But he said that if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants strive. They would fight. So we have the same translation. Except here, it means to contend perseveringly against opposition and temptation. Jesus said, my servants would fight. They would accomplish their goals. Jesus said, my servants would keep me from delivering, me being delivered over to the enemy, but said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said they would be actively engaged in conflict to keep others from their purpose and accomplish theirs. In other words, they would be actively involved in the situation, combating everything that arises to keep them from their purpose. Jesus said, you need to fight to enter in. Now, the same concept is of an army fighting to accomplish their goal and win their victory. The idea is the enemy is here to keep you from your purpose. That they're all around you. Those of you that are lost this morning, you have things all around you combating you and fighting you and keeping you from getting saved. You have people all around you. You have influences all around you. You have the devil and the demons of hell all around you combating you and fighting you and trying to keep you from finding the way and finding the gate. And here he says, you're going to have to fight. He says you're going to have to put yourself to it. You're going to have to give yourself to it. You're going to have to get in such a mind, an attitude, to where you're actively engaged. That's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual. He's not saying fight physically. He's saying in your attitude, you get ready to oppose everything that rises. If it's the devil, oppose him. If it's people, oppose them. If it's anything, oppose it. He said you give yourself to it every day, every night, until you get right with God, till you find the way, till you enter in that gate. He says you be like a soldier who's prepared and ready until you want to get saved more than you want anything else in this world. You say, well, I'm lost, preacher. Yes, but what are you doing about it? You say, well, preacher, there's nothing I can do. Oh, yes, there is. That's what I'm saying to you this morning. That you need to get actively engaged in the salvation of your soul until you give your attention to it. You give yourself to it. And you say, by the grace of God, I'll get saved in spite of everybody. And I'll fight anybody or anything that stands in my way of my salvation. That's the most important thing in this world, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, the salvation of your soul is more important than anything or anybody. And you should let no one deter you from it. And Jesus said, I want you to know that my servants would fight to keep others from their purpose, to gain their purpose if my kingdom were of this world. And what he is saying for us in our salvation is you ought to combat anybody or anything that would hinder you and stop you from getting saved, and say, by the grace of God, I will keep my purpose, and I'll have my purpose. I'll have the victory. I'll win the hill. I'll win the war. And glory to God, I'll find the way and enter in. He says, fight to do it. He says, strive to do it. He said, overcome it. Be determined like an athlete. Strain to the uttermost. And take your stand as a soldier to enter in. So he says, fight. Enter in. Then third is the word for labor. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. The book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 29 says, whereunto I also labor. Here's the same word for fight, striving, and for strive. It's the word labor, which means work toward an accomplishment. Wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Look in chapter 4, verse 12, while we're here in Colossians. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently. See that laboring fervently? This is the same word for striving. Laboring fervently. Intently, it means. Warm-heartedly. Hot-spirited. Until where it's a blaze and a fire inside him. And he said Epaphras has been laboring fervently in prayers. And what he is just simply saying is that his desires are so hot-heated until he labors and he prays intently like a fire burning in his soul. And this is what Jesus is talking about when he says, strive to enter in. It should be like a fire burning in your soul. He said you should have such a warm desire, and said it ought to burn in you every day until you're set ablaze with it, until you're just engulfed with it, until it's burning inside. But you work at it. He said you labor toward it. And this is the same word that we have for strive. Well, when he uses the word for work, it means to put forth every effort involving toil. Now, the idea is not working for salvation, as though the working would accomplish it or merit it. But he means work at it, labor over it, work your mind. Salvation is not by works, but it is something you work at in order to get saved, something you give yourself to, something you labor over. What he's saying is don't be lazy in your attitude. Now, this is the biggest problem you'll have if you lost this morning. You're just lazy in your attitude. You say you're being critical? No. I know what it's like to just push it off and wait and wait and wait and wait on something to happen without it being engaged in it and involved in it and working at it and laboring over it and giving yourself to it. He says, don't be slothful in this thing. In other words, don't sit back and do nothing. You say, but preacher, I can't do anything to save myself. No, you can't, but you can sure put the pressure on God for him to do it. You say, but I'll sit here and wait. Don't sit there and wait. Get actively engaged in it. Work at it. Labor over it. Like you labor at your job. And it's just like you, when you labor at your job, you're working for a purpose. You're working for an intent. And here he says that you should have the same idea. That you're going to work at this. You're going to labor at this. This is your job. You know you can't be saved by works, but praise God you can put your mind in gear and have an attitude not of laziness and slothfulness, but expectation for God to save you. And he says that you and you're working at it to labor over it, labor to understand, toil to enter in, he says. Now, this does not mean straining and struggling in the energy of the flesh, but that you are not walking off, leaving it alone. You're not idle in your attitude. You know, I haven't really got over God's salvation of me. But I can remember when I found out I was lost. You know, when I found out I was lost, I didn't feel anything but good. That's the best I ever felt in my life when I found out I was lost, because I knew something beyond doubt. But inside me, I didn't have any emotions running up and down. But I had a will that said, by the grace of God, I'm going to get saved no matter what it takes. I worked at it. I labored over it. I fought. I did just a little everything that I could think about. I can remember those days clear as a bell. Most unusual days I ever spent in my life. Now, to some people, they said, why don't you go down and get saved? Just get, you know, just clip, snap your fingers and get saved. I tried that too. I tried a little of everything. I did. They said, give up. I tried to give up. They said, hold on. I tried to hold on. I did everything I'd ever heard anybody else do. Prayed everything I'd ever seen anybody else pray. Felt nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I wasn't going to get idle. I wasn't going to sit back and say, well, there's nothing I could do. I didn't even know about this word. I'd never even studied this word for strive. But I strove just the same. Man, I got up in the morning. That's the only thing I had on my mind. I go through my activities that day, but the only thing I think about was getting right with God. I'd go to those services, to the camp meeting, and all I could think about is getting right with God. We was eating supper, and I'd think about getting right with God. I'd think, is it going to be today, God? Is it going to be this song? Is it going to be this sermon? When is it, God? Is it going to be this time? And so when I told everybody up there I was lost, some of them told me, said, you just confused. You mixed up. I wasn't the least bit confused, wasn't mixed up, just wanted to get right with God. And they were saying, well, you know what? If he was really lost, he'd get out and get to struggling. What I just told you, you don't struggle in the energy of the flesh. It's not the flesh that you struggle, but it's the spirit that you struggle. And in your spirit, you decide nothing's going to keep you from getting saved. And if you have to work at it, you'll work at it. If you have to fight over it, you'll fight over it. And if you're going to have to strain every nerve like an athlete, you're going to have it by the grace of God no matter what it takes. I tried this struggling of the flesh. I think I told you this, but it won't hurt to tell you again. When I found out I was lost and people kept cornering me up, saying, oh, you just confused. You'll find out you all right one of these days. I just finally couldn't stand it anymore. So I went over to Brother Ray's house, and he had an altar there in his living room. I crawled up under it. And I was trying to work it in the flesh. You know, I was straining and I was just struggling and I was working at it, trying to get it on, because I knew something was supposed to get on before I could get saved. And I was trying to get it on. And oh, I was straining. And I thought if I could just strain enough to get some tears out, maybe those tears would get it going. By the time Rachel walked in, I looked back and saw it was her, and she just sat down over there for a long time, didn't say anything, just watched me. finally, she interrupted me and said, "You know what you remind me of?" I said, "No, what?" She said, "You remind me of a woman trying to give birth to a baby before it's due." I said, "I can't help it. I said, I just want to get saved." And I didn't know what I was doing. All I knew was I was working at it, striving. That was the most important thing in this world to me. I wasn't going to walk off and be idle. Oh, no. I was going to be actively engaged in it. I was going to be involved in it. And in spite of what anybody said, or in spite of what anybody thought, or in spite of the difficulties, I was going to enter in. I'd found the way. I just couldn't find the gate. I found a way of repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and I got on the road, and I got to looking for the gate, and by the grace of God, God gave me enough wisdom not to stop till I entered in. But first, you got to find the way. You say, "Well, where is it?" Are you looking for it? Are you straining over it? Are you studying the Word of God? Are you saying, "Well, I can't understand it"? Yes, you can. The Holy Ghost will guide you in it. Oh, have you studied repentance? Have you studied remission? Have you studied regeneration? You say no. Well, how are you expecting to find the way? You say, "Well, preacher, I want to get saved." What are you expecting God to do? Drop it down on you this morning? No, you've got to look for the way. You've got to strive for the way. You've got to find the way. When you get in it, then you've got to look for the door. Looking for the gate. You say, "Well, I'll not get involved in it." Well, there's stand a good chance God will set you out some of these days. You don't stand a good chance. You say, "But preacher, we sit right here in Calvary Baptist Church. Jesus said many of those. I taught in your street. You can sit in our Sunday school classes. You can hear me preach and die and go to hell." You say, "But preacher, that won't happen to me." Yes, it will. Some of those people, Jesus said, if you don't strive in, you won't ever get in. If you don't make it your desire, he said, you're going to find yourself shut outside the door just because you won't give attention to it. And if you think you can just sit here and go through all these services and not get involved in the salvation of your own soul and God's going to reach down and save you, you can forget it. You say, "Well, preacher, we want y'all to do everything you can do. It. By the grace of God, we're going to do everything we can do to get you in, but we can't push you in." Amen? Oh, you say, "Well, preacher, why don't y'all do something?" Well, what are you doing over the salvation of your own soul? You say, "Well, preacher, now listen, preacher, you need to do something. Are you seeking, folks? Are you laboring? Are you looking, those of you who are lost? Or do you want to get saved more than anything else in this world?" And that's what he's saying. He said you should look for it. You should decide. You should want it like an athlete trying to gain his prize. Like someone who's laboring in a battle, who's fighting or laboring over a job. Well, I want to thank God if you ever find the way, he'll lead you to the gate. Oh, I'm glad that the Holy Ghost can guide us in the way and guide us to the gate. But you know, it wasn't over even that day when I crawled up under the altar. I went over to the church there the next day. And I remember, you know, I want to get saved. And I lay down in the sanctuary. Wasn't feeling a thing. I got to praying, and I remember the time in the scripture where Abraham met God, and the word was El Shaddai. It meant the breasted one who could do the impossible. So I had to labor a little bit more in the flesh that day. I just didn't know it. You know, looking back, it's easy to tell what happened then, but while you're going through it, it's more difficult. So I got over there at the church, and I locked everybody out. Of course, camp meeting was going on, and I locked myself in and everybody else out, and I got down at the altar and got to praying. Well, I didn't feel one thing, nothing. So I thought, well, I need to pray louder. So I got to praying louder. And then I thought, well, that's probably my pride. I don't want anybody to know it. So I got to praying so loud you could have heard me, I'm sure, if you'd been a block away outside. And I was praying, I was laboring, I was straining, I was grunting, and I was hollering and working at it. You say, "Did it do any good?" No, it didn't do a bit of good. I just got tired. Finally got up and said, "That's not doing me any good. I'll go back to the service." He said, "Did you quit?" No, I didn't quit, and I didn't get in the idle either. I said, "By the grace of God, I'm going to get saved. I don't know if it'll be today. I don't know where it'll be tomorrow, but I'm going to stay with God till he does this thing." Now, like I said, I didn't know about this word. In fact, I have never preached on this word. I've used this word. This is my first time preaching a sermon. Isn't that good? You hearing it for the first time. But see, God done worked on me this past week. I spent all that week up in Illinois, and God not working on me a bit about that meeting, working on me about this Sunday morning service. Thrills me, blesses me. Those of you who are lost this morning, we love you. And by the grace of God, if you put yourself in gear, God's going to save you. Oh, you say, "Well, I want to get saved." He's ready to save you. He's ready to save you. He's ready to do something for you. But you're going to have to get involved in it. You're going to have to put yourself in gear. You're going to have to put your mind to the task. You're going to have to say, by the grace of God, I'll not let anybody, I'll not let anything, I won't let any demon of hell keep me from getting saved. I'll get saved by the grace of God, and God's already let me know he'll save you if you'll do it. You say, well, when's it going to happen? I don't know. I'm not God. I'm just telling you, find a way and look for the gate and glory. Something will happen called eternal life when you find the gate. And you'll know it, too, when you get in. Amen. That's a blessed part of the whole thing. And what difference does it make how long it takes as long as you can find that gate? And see, here's the struggle. And that's the last thing I want you to see. Matthew 7:14 says, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Isn't that an amazing thing? He said, broad is the way, and broad is this gate that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But narrow is the way. This is verse 14 of Matthew 7. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now the definition of this word phanera. This is a different Greek word phanera. This is a word that means hemmed in like a mountain gorge. Dr. W. Vine says, the way is rendered narrow by the divine conditions which make it impossible for any to enter who thinks entrance depends upon self-merit or who's still inclined toward sin or desire to continue in evil. What he's literally saying is that this narrow way that leads to the narrow gate is like a mountain gorge. And it's so narrow that if anyone tries to enter in for any other purpose than for by salvation, by grace, through faith, he'll never. To suffer affliction, to be troubled, has reference to sufferings due to pressure of circumstances or to the antagonism of persons. As translated in 1 Thessalonians 3:4, 2 Thessalonians 1:6-7, Matthew 7:14, Mark 3:9, 2 Corinthians 1:6-7, 5, 1 Timothy 5:10, Hebrews 11:37, and 2 Corinthians 4:8. And I just mentioned that because these words are translated press, straitened, throng, tribulation, or trouble. Now why in the world did he refer to a narrow way with such definition? How can one word be translated all this way? But he's speaking of the difficulty of finding the way. Now let me emphasize for those of you who are lost this morning, and even for our young folks that are lost, that it's not easy to find the way to get saved. And yet we're living in the day of what's called, quote, easy believism, unquote. When someone says, well, just believe and everything's all right. Just believing anything won't bring peace to the heart. It'll be difficult this morning for those of you who are lost and know it to find the way. Now, I said say that it's difficult to get saved. I said it's difficult to find the way to where you want to be saved without any other thing other than that purpose. You have difficulties. You have obstacles. And he said there'll be trouble. It's like affliction. It's like tribulation. It's like a press. It's like a throne of people. He said there's always something standing in the way. It's a difficult thing to find a way. Now, first, you must strive against the prince of the power of the air. He doesn't want you to get saved. Now, since he doesn't have a body, you can't see the devil. Now, I don't want to see the devil in his being that he is. But I know one thing. The devil did everything he could to keep me from getting saved. And those of you who are saved, the devil did everything he could to keep you from getting saved. And this morning, those of you who are unsaved, the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you from getting saved. He's going to put pressure on you. He's going to tell you to leave God out of your life. He's going to combat you every inch of the way. He'll call your attention to everything else. And the first thing he'll do is steal the truth right out of your mind. Have you read the parable of the sower? Where Jesus said the sower went out to sow and said one heard it. And the birds of the air came along and snatched it away. He said, that's the devil, the evil one who comes along and snatches it. And you know what will happen in your Sunday school classes here at Calvary Baptist Church and in my preaching? You'll hear me preach. And by the time I put it out there, you let the devil snatch it right out of your mind. You don't get involved in it. You don't get engaged in it. You don't give yourself to it. And you say, well, I didn't understand that sermon. That sermon wasn't for me. And the reason it wasn't for you is that you let the devil steal it away. You didn't combat him. You didn't fight him. And he overcame you and stole away the very truth that would have brought conviction to your heart. But I also believe this. That's the time we as children of God ought to get engaged too. You know, we ought to actively get engaged in these services. We not only expect the sinners to do that, but we ought to get to praying for them just like they're praying for themselves and like they're seeking for the truth of the Word of God. Well, we can pray for them, we can witness to them, and we can talk to them, but the main thing we can do is love them. Oh, just love them to death. Because if someone hadn't loved us, we never would have gotten saved. If people hadn't prayed for us, we never would have gotten saved. But it's both of us involved in it. The saints laboring in prayer and intercession for the sinners to get saved, and the sinners involved in finding a way to be saved. But he said, you're going to have a difficult time, and few there be that find it. Why? Because they won't give themselves to it. They won't strive. They won't combat. They won't work at it. But he said, if you work at it and labor at it, you can overcome the devil. Well, I want to thank God that Jesus Christ can combat the devil and overcome the devil if we trust the Lord to do that for us. But first you must realize the devil doesn't want you to get saved. He'll do everything he can to keep you from giving your attention to it. He'll put everything in your pathway. He will put things that will tempt you and entice you so you won't activate your mind to where your mind will be concerned about everything else, everywhere else except getting saved, until you'll think about worldly things. A devil put things in your mind and he'll make them glitter, and he'll make you your job out here more important than anything else. He'll make the world more important than anything else, and you'll have a time finding the way because of the influence of the devil. But he said, strive against the devil, and then you need to strive against the pleasures of this world. Jesus talked about that parable of the sower, and he said some of the seed fell among the thorns. And he said, this is the cares of the world which choke out the seed, the pleasures of this life entering in, and the deceitfulness of riches. There has never been such a pleasurable age. See, the chances are good for those of you who are lost that we preach to you. And before you get back to the service tonight, the pleasures of this life have already choked it out. Chances are good you'll go get in your car this afternoon. You'll turn on your radio. And you'll get interested in the pleasurable music and the things of this world, and it'll choke out the seed of conviction. You'll go home and turn on your television, or you'll call somebody, and first thing you know, you're talking about everything else other than the salvation of your soul, and it'll choke out that conviction. And it wasn't that God didn't convict you in the service. It wasn't that God didn't convict you with the word, but you just allowed the devil to choke it out. You allowed the world to choke it out, the care of other things. I wonder sometimes in these meetings how anybody ever gets saved. Now, that's not being judging. But what it's saying is people have got so many things that they care about. Ladies and gentlemen, there's never been such a busy time. You would think with all of our modern conveniences, we'd have more time. But with all of our push-button automatic everything, we've got little time. We got more places to go, more things to do. When we're at home, we got more things to do. When we're on our job, we've got more things to do. And the cares of this life can choke conviction right out of you. And the deceitfulness of riches and money, your money worries and things that you worry about can choke conviction right out of you. But the pleasures of this world can choke them right out of you. Until first thing you know, you'll get more involved in pleasures and worldly things and worldly activities and ball games and even things of this nature and choke the seed right out of you. Now, it wouldn't hurt us to get back to some of the old-fashioned days. Some things I wouldn't want to go back to. But used to, when the old-timers would preach, they didn't have anything to do but plow when they got home. There wasn't any radios. There wasn't any TV sets. And there wasn't any cars to go anywhere. And once they came to the church, they didn't come to get out. They came to get in. And when they got in, they heard the Word of God and went home, didn't have anything to do or anywhere to go. And it ate on them. All they'd do is get behind that old mule. And all they could think about behind that mule was, I got to get saved. I got to get saved. I got to get saved. But no, not today. We've got too many cares of this life, too many pleasures. We got too many worldly things. And what I'm saying to you this morning is, Oh, dear, lovely ones that are lost, we love you. But if you don't watch it, and if you don't set your mind at it, and if you don't strive at it and fight at it, you might not find the way and be left out. That'd be a sad thing, wouldn't it? Oh, what I'm saying to you is that God has said to you, you can be saved, but you're going to have to set your whole mind and whole heart at it to where you want to get saved more than anything else in this world. But then third, you must strive against the pressures of other sinners. Not only against the prince of the power of the air, and not only against the pleasures of this world, but the pressures of other sinners. Listen to this. It dawned on me. Jesus said, broad is the way, and many there be. Broadway sinners. You know who the Broadway sinners are? They're the ones who are having such a thrill. They're the stars of the Broadway. Oh, the stars of the Broadway are those sinners who are having such a good time in the world that they're going to influence you to go their way. And one of the battles you're going to have is that the devil is going to combat you, yes. The pleasures of the world, yes. But you're going to have some sinner friends. Like you want to, maybe the person sitting right next to you who's lost too. And their attitude is, now you don't want to get saved, do you? They'll laugh at you. Like you young folks, they'll laugh at you at school, won't they, if you get saved? Yeah, you friends, you got some sinner friends that they enjoy iniquity. They enjoy indulging themselves in sin. And they'll laugh at you. They'll ridicule you because there's many more on the Broadway than there is on the narrow way. And he says, if you don't watch it, he said, there'll be some people there combating you. And folks, I found that to be true. Sinners like to gang up and involve themselves in sin, the pleasures of sin. What you have to do is to combat sinners who are standing in your way is say, I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care how many there are on the Broadway. I'm going to find the narrow way and get on it and enter the gate and get saved and go to heaven when I die, whether anybody else does or not. And that's the attitude of those that he says to strive to enter in, to combat them, even if they entice you, even if they revile you, even if they laugh at you, even if they reject you and say, well, if you get saved, we won't be your friends anymore. You can't be a part of our gang anymore. Well, Jesus says, don't you worry about being a part of them. Worry about being a part of me. And he says, strive to enter in. Now, here's the simple truth of the whole matter. The decision is yours. One, do you care whether or not you find the way? Is that a preacher? Yes, I do. I don't want to go to hell. But the question is, do you really care? Do you really care to where you'd rather be saved than anything else in the world? Do you care enough about your own soul to where you're striving and fighting and laboring to find the way and enter that gate? You say, but preacher, I really care. Are you searching the scriptures? Are you seeking the way? Are you praying to God for guidance? Or are you lazy, idle, and listless about the whole matter? He said, but Brother Charles, I'm waiting on God. Now, folks, I'm going to show you two types of waiting, passive and active. I think I'm best illustrated by this door. Let's say on the other side of this door, it's my friend John White. And I want to get into John, but this door is locked, and it has to be open from the inside. If I really want to get in, I must first realize that John White must open the door. Well, I could sit back and say, well, I just can't get in. John White won't open the door. I'm going to wait on John White to open the door. So I sit here and wait on him. That's what's called passive waiting. It means to be enacted on. Now, if you're here this morning and you're lost, and you're thinking God's going to arrest you and pull you to that gate and knock on the door for you, you may stay lost. Now, there's another way. There's nothing wrong with waiting on John White to open that door. But that's what's called active waiting. I can't get in if he doesn't open it, but I can stand here. John? John? Hey, John. Open my door. John? John? Now, I'm still passive. I can't get in if he doesn't open it. But active means I'm going to knock on it till he opens it. God, hey, John, let me in, John, let me in. Hey, John, let me in. But you know how some of you have been over salvation of your soul? You said, well, there's nothing I can do. I'll just wait on God. I'm lost. One of these days he'll save me. No, you may die in your sins and go to hell if you don't get to knocking on that door. You say, but I can't save myself. I know you can't save yourself. But praise God, you knock on that door till he lets you in. That's active. That's active. Man, that's desiring to get in, and you're going to keep on with God till he opens it. I'm glad that's true. Glory to God. I never would have gotten saved, I don't believe, if he hadn't just let me experience it ignorantly. You know, I didn't know. I didn't even know what I was doing. I just wanted to know I was saved. Found the way and just wanted to get saved. Finally had to get to the place, didn't care what anybody else thought about. Sent those licenses back, ordination papers back, canceled all those meetings, and got to looking for the door. Glory, glory, glory. I'm glad the Lord's merciful and kind, good. Wouldn't have known enough about it. Even preaching those 15 years, still wouldn't have known enough about it to even gotten saved. Just as ignorant as I could be. But found the way. I won't say I stumbled on it, because the Holy Ghost showed me the way. But it was as though I stumbled on it. And when I found out what the way was, I knew I couldn't have gotten saved, because I'd never been that way. There wasn't anything else to do but tell God I was lost, because I'd never repented of my sin and trusted him. And when I found out I hadn't gone that way, wasn't anything else to do but go that way. But before I got there, I found it was a compressed way and a narrow way, and you couldn't go in until you got the right attitude, and it took me a while to get to the gate because there's too many things that had to be unloaded before I got there. He had to unload my spirit. He had to unload my attitudes to get me the one attitude so I could enter that gate. And that was, I want him more than anybody, anything else in this world, and I'm going to trust him to do it. But it took a while to get there. But like I said, the decision's left up to you. Oh, it's left up to you. Sure. And you got to actively be engaged in it, which means you give full attention to the salvation of your soul. Like, for instance, do you realize the seriousness of getting saved? You say, what do you mean the seriousness of it? That the door could be shut, Jesus said. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and then you begin to knock. You say, well, what does that mean? That means there's going to be a group of people that one of these days are going to seek to enter in. Like you could say this morning, well, preacher, that sermon's good, all right, but I'm still not going to seek. I'm not going to give myself to it. Well, Jesus said the tragedy is that many are going to come and they're going to knock. But the door's already been shut. And he said, then you can't get in. And you said, but surely God would let me be outside when I've been in this church and I've heard the best preaching and I've been on the best teachers. God wouldn't shut me out. Jesus said, that's been what the trouble is. Some of you, you've eaten in my presence. You've heard my preaching. You've heard my talking. And he said, you won't give yourself to it. And said, one of these days the door's going to be shut and the master's going to rise up and he's going to shut it. And said, you're going to come and say, but Jesus, we've eaten and drunk in your presence. We've been in your presence. Well, did you know Jesus is in the midst of the churches? And he's in the midst of this church and his presence is here. And if you don't get in, you'll say, but Jesus, I didn't have a chance. And he'll talk about how his presence has been in the midst of the church. And you'll say, but Jesus, I went to church and I was in your presence and I felt your presence. But he's going to say, yes, but when did you enter the gate? And Jesus said to them, who had eaten and drunk in his presence, strive to enter in. And again, it's the attitude. He's saying, put yourself to the task to find that way. And when you find it, then start looking for the gate. And just like I told you at the beginning, when we go to Six Flags or to Stone Mountain, we find the way. And Rachel's sister lives in Atlanta. And when we find the way, the whole family gets involved in looking for the gate. You know, it's an amazing thing to me. We've been to Six Flags for every year for several years. And if we go back next year, it'll be the same way. When we leave Marie's house and go get on the highway that leads to Six Flags, we'll watch every hill, over every hill. Suzanne will usually begin by, "Daddy, are we almost there? Daddy, can you see that big sky lift? Daddy, can you see it? Can you see it? Daddy, can you see it?" Well, that's what it means, the whole family involved in it. And then when we finally top that hill, we see that gate. And the sign says Six Flags, and there's an arrow pointing that way. Well, the question is, what good would it do to get on the highway that led to the gate if after we got to the exit, we didn't enter? We couldn't go to Six Flags. Which means you know the way and find the way, but you got to enter the gate in order to get in. And that's the way it is with salvation. Jesus said, strive to enter in. Determine that nothing and no one will stand in your way of getting saved. Those of you who are in our midst this morning who are lost, and I know there's some of you, we love you. We really do. In fact, we love you more than anybody in this world. We want to see you saved. We really do. Some of us have not known what to do about it. You know, one of the hardest things in the world to know is what to do with people who are lost and know it and are having a difficult time to get saved. It's very difficult to go and say, "Let me tell you what to do." And once you told them, they still can't see the way to know what to do after that. So if we hadn't talked to you like we'd like to, dealt with you like we'd like to, it's because we didn't know what to do with you. She said, "What are you going to do with us this morning?" Well, first thing we're going to do with you is tell you the truth that God told us today. And then we're going to set into praying for you. We're going to bombard heaven for you. We're going to get us an open line direct to God and call you by your name. And then we're going to offer ourselves to you. Any time of the day, any time of the night. Our telephone is always open. The house is open. Anytime you need us, we're available. And we're going to come see you, pray with you, whatever you want to do. We'll do everything but try to push you through. But by the grace of God, we'll do everything we can to point you to the gate, point you to the way. But even if all what we can do might be great, it will never work if you don't be involved in it, if you don't get actively engaged in it, if you don't decide, by the grace of God, I'll let the devil, people, pleasures, nothing stand in my way. I will have salvation. I will have eternal life. I will be saved. By the grace of God, I'm going to Jesus, and I don't care who stands in the way. And I'll fight every who rises up, and I'll strain to the uttermost in my spirit. I will stay with it. I'll not be idle. I'll not be listless. I'll not be lazy in my attitude, but I won't walk off and leave it, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to actively be engaged in it like knocking on that door. And after a while, God will open that door and let you in. And then the greatest thing that ever happened to you will have happened, called eternal life. He said, "Preacher, why are we having to go through it like this? Some of you just got saved just like that." No, some of us went through the door just like that. But it sure did take some of us a long time to get to the door. See, some of us got the door and then we found the way, but didn't even know what we was doing in the way. We just went along with it. And in going along with it one day, we just got to the place of faith and just trusted it. We just said, "By the grace of God, I will get saved." And after a while, we just believed and went through that door and got saved. And then we turned around and tried to tell everybody where the expressway is. We're trying to tell everybody where the way is that leads them to life eternal, that brings them to Jesus Christ. who is the gate. Let's pray. Let's stand for our prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today. Oh, how I praise you today for this service. Lord, how you dealt with my heart this past week. How you showed me our folks in our midst who are lost. And Lord, that you're going to do something about them if they're willing to do something about themselves. That you're waiting and you're determined for them to be saved. You will for them to be saved. But not unless they will for it to be so themselves. And Lord, that if they don't actively get engaged in it, if they don't actively work at it, they may find themselves shut out the door. They may find Jesus coming again and leaving them out. Finding everybody else of their friends going through but them. But God, I pray that'll not happen. And you don't want it to happen. You're determined for it not to happen. And Lord, you've given an opportunity. You've already given us assurance that revival's coming. But God, this could be the very beginning of it. This could be the truth that just opens up the door for the salvation of sinners. And God, it could be that husband. It could be that wife. It could be that son or daughter. It could be that one that no one cares about. It could be that young person whose parents could care less whether he or she goes to heaven or hell, who hasn't guided them in the way. Lord, I pray that this morning the blessed Holy Ghost will give that person wisdom and grace to set that mind and get involved in the salvation of the soul. Now, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want Cindy to come play at the organ. While she comes to play for us at the organ, I want to play that song, "There's Room at the Cross for You." She can find it if she can. She can play something else. But all today, I want to ask those of you who are lost, are you working at it? Are you fighting over it? Are you straining at it? Or has your attitude been passive? Have you had a lazy attitude toward the salvation of your soul? Have you been one who just sat back and said, well, I can't save myself. I'll just wait on God. But you hadn't been knocking at that door. You haven't been seeking that way. You haven't been looking for that way. Well, I want to tell you, if you'll set yourself in motion today, God is ready to save you. You say, well, when will he save me? I don't know. All I know is if you'll set your attitude to find that way, to go through repentance toward God, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, after a while you'll get at the gate. And that gate will open to you, and you can enter in unto life eternal, unto eternal life. But he said, few there be that find it. And find it meant search for it, who look for it, and find what they're looking for. And the reason being, they're really not looking. He said there's going to be a multitude of them who will not look for it until after it's too late. And then they'll look, but the door's already been shut. And today, God wants to do something for you. He wants to do something for you. And if you're here today and you're lost and want to get here to this altar, here it is. It's wide open right now for you to come and get in that way. To get in that way and start striving and start working and start fighting to overcome what stands in the way of you getting to that door. And if you need my help, I'll be glad to come pray with you. You just motion for me. Otherwise, I'll let you be at the altar by yourself because we want to be real inside you. If you're here today, if you're here right now, and you say, by the grace of God, Brother Charles, I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start doing that. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Just get here. And tell God today, God, I shall begin to strive. I shall begin that no matter if the devil, people, or the world stands in the way, I will have the salvation of my soul. I have not been giving myself to it, but I will. Why don't you come on right now? This is your time to set everything in motion, to be actively engaged in it. You come on, huh? God's dealing with you. And God can lead you to that door today. He can. If you're at that door this morning, what you need to do is just knock on it and believe him to open it. And he will open it for you to go in if you're at that gate. But it is a narrow gate with obstacles on each side that causes it to be so narrow that no one else can go in with you. You must go in by yourself. You must go in on your own. But thank God for the Spirit of God who guides us to the way and then in the way and brings us to the gate. Oh, if you're here today and you say, Brother Charles, I have not been praying for these who are lost. I used to, but I haven't been praying for them like I should. Would you just lift up your hand and put it down and say, by the grace of God today, I'm going to start praying for them better. Amen. Amen. Just lift it up and put it back down. We're going to do everything we can. Everything we can. That's right. Just lift it up and put it back down. And if you're here and you say, Brother Charles, I don't want to go to the altar, but I know I'm lost. But inside me, I am determined to get saved no matter what. No matter what. And I want God to take me today from this beginning point and start a work inside me and guide me to that door. And I will actively be involved in it. I'll do anything. I'll pray to Him. I'll study the Word. And I will be determined inside my heart. If you'll do that, would you just lift your hand up and put it back down? All you have to do is lift it up. Thank you. Thank you. God sees that. Anyone else? Just lift it up and put it back down. God knows. Just lift it up and put it back down. Anyone else? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. See, we're trying to work on both sides this morning. Folks, God's wanting to do a work in our midst, and He's going to. He is. And it thrills me. It blesses me. It excites me. In fact, I have never been as excited over anything since I've been here as I am the prospects of this morning. Oh, anyone else? Just lift your hand up and put it back down. Lift it up and put it back down. God sees all these, and God saw all of us who are saved. He said, preacher, what does all that mean? I don't know. All I know is it means that we're actively engaged in it. We're actively involved in it. And for that, I'm grateful. Amen. I want you to look this way. I appreciate your presence today. I appreciate God letting us have this service. And like I told you, it thrills my heart what God's doing. It really has. Like I told you before, God's been doing more in these meetings than He's done in a long time. And I've been wanting God to give me something for here, but when I got to Illinois this past week, I didn't dream God was going to deal with me about, you know, here. And like I told you, all week long, that's all I could think about. I felt plumb guilty being up there. I told God, I said, God, here I am way up here in this meeting in Illinois, trying to carry on a revival meeting. All I'm thinking about is our folks. I thought, Lord, what in the world am I doing way up here? And then He showed me, He said, I had to get you up here, get you alone, give you these sermons. I thought, glory to God, Lord, that's all right. You had to get me all the way up here to Illinois to give me something for our folks. So I said, thank you, God. So I spent a whole week of revival meeting in Illinois just for you folks. Isn't that a sight? But what would happen, see, if I'd been down here, I'd have been over here in and out and everything else, and God couldn't have got me where He could talk to me. But got me up there in that motel room, and just God and me, and got to talking to me. And I didn't stumble on this message, but I didn't even have this message until the other day. And I just sat down and I thought, well, I'll study something, you know. I wasn't feeling any particular thing. And I was trying to pray, God, give me something for tonight. Give me something for tonight. And I was blank as a sheet of paper. And I started, you know, I just went over and got the scripture and opened it up and started reading. And I got to this word, strive. Oh, strive, strive, strive. And then I got to thinking about our folks here. And then, boy, God got to opening that thing up and got to revealing that thing to me. I got like a little child new toy. I said, glory.